I always like to come to San Antonio. You know, there are certain places that are special to some people. You may have a special place. And for me, it's San Antonio. I went through basic training here in 1954 in the fall and came here as a Lutheran boy, but lost, and met some real Christians during basic training. And then not long out of basic, in the month of January of 1955, receiving Christ at a little church in south part of town, the Fairview Evangelical Free Church. I went with my friend to the church that night and received the Lord. That was January 5. And then going to the Servicemen Center where Brother Chisholm was working here in San Antonio at that time.
Amen.
And meeting his daughter, not his daughter, his co-worker's daughter, Brother Wilson Grismore was here at that time, and he had a daughter and has a daughter, and we got acquainted, and we were married then. We had our first date out of the Servicemen Center. We were married here in San Antonio and by Brother Ken Hutchison in December of 1958. And I just talked with Ken on the phone, and it was a real privilege and a real pleasure to do that. I can remember some of Ken's preaching yet. I can remember when he was pastor at Lakeview Baptist Church after he left the Air Force, a series that he preached on the Ten Commandments. I've never forgotten that. And I can remember a Sunday afternoon when he was preaching at the Servicemen Center on the prodigal son. And that was in 1956, so that would be 25 years, and I can still almost hear him. I can picture him, and I can hear him, and I remember some of the things he said. So he made an impression, for sure. I've been thinking the last few weeks on a certain scripture and kind of enjoyed what I was learning and as I was thinking and meditating and didn't have anyone to tell. And then when this opportunity came to share in the conference, I said, aha, I'll tell them. So look with me in Philippians 4. Familiar verses, I know, to us. But I have a couple things that I want to share out of there. I guess verses 10 through 13, but verse 12 is going to be the one that I'm going to concentrate on. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, of which ye were also mindful or careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therein to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I guess we'll pause in a moment of prayer then.
Amen.
Father, I'm glad for this opportunity to share with these brethren today and tonight, to get acquainted with these, some for the first time. I'm grateful for the privilege of talking to Brother Ken Hutchison after so many, many years. I haven't seen him for, I suppose, 20 years, but so glad that he's going on with you. Thankful for the opportunity to share these thoughts that you've given to me. And we pray, Lord, that these minutes as we consider these things tonight, we'll enjoy your enablement, we'll enjoy your liberty. The things will come to mind that we want to share, and then we look forward to the others as they share tonight and the pictures. And Lord, there's a big world, and there's over 4 billion people, and you've given us each an assignment, a spot to work, and we make our best contribution, we believe, by working hard there, but we're so glad to learn of the other places and the other people, and to hear the names and to see the slides and to learn of where the work is being done. And to think that you have millions of people, millions of sons and daughters in all the different parts of the world. And we can share with them. We can pray for them, separated by a long distance sometimes, but one in Christ. Bless the remaining days of the conference. Receive the sincere, honest praise and worship and adoration of our hearts. In
Amen.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm going to zero in a little here on verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I don't know if my comments will apply more to missionaries and Christian workers or if it applies generally to us all. Quite possibly, it might have a little more application to those in Christian's work on what we call a full-time basis. But I want you to notice, first of all, and I have two main thoughts that I want to bring out. First, the word both. I know both how to be abased. That's found in the first line. It's found in about the fourth line. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, I want us to concentrate on that word a little bit. Both. Not one to the exclusion of the other, it seems, but both. Amen. Both. Evidently, the most of us at least are not locked into one or the other to the exclusion of the other. But both. Both abased and abound. Both full and hungry. Both abound and suffer need. So I kind of take that to mean that there will be times then, and possibly alternating times, of abundance and need. And I tried to think through on that a little bit then, meaning that there will be times when the support check comes through right on time, and times when it's late, or maybe even lost in the mail, and I've got to try to figure what to do when it doesn't get there. To me, then, it means that there are times when if you have to buy a garbage can or change oil in your car, that's tough. It just has to wait. There just is no money. And other times when you can buy the garbage can and change oil and buy something else, because you've got lots of money that particular time. Amen. Times when you have to stretch the old grocery budget until it just almost breaks. And other times when, boy, you can take the family out to eat. Yeah. More than once even. Times when you go on a trip and you travel 5,000 miles and the car runs perfectly all the way through. You meet every engagement on time. And then the time when you're late and the car breaks down and the motels are full and the kids are crying and they want to go to bed. Both. That's what it says to me. Both.
Amen.
Not just locked in on one or the other, but both. And, you know, you can just kind of carry that along, both. Trying to think of another illustration of how that might work, but let's go on to the second thing that caught my attention in the verse, also found in verse 12, I know how. That's the second thing I want us to think about a little bit. I know how. And he says that in the first line, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. My, does that... is that worthy of some consideration, I think, for all of us? I know how when this happens. Now, this guy, and of course it's Paul, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, whichever way it goes, I know how to do it.
Amen.
I know how.
Praise God.
I know how. So during the times then when we're abased, during the times when we're hungry and suffer need, I know how to do it. I don't run to God and ask Him why He's picking on me. I don't begin to doubt or begin to question that God knows how to care for His own. I don't get short-tempered with my wife or my husband or my children because I don't, my wallet's empty. I don't begin to get a, you know, the stiffness in the neck and shoulders and backache and stomach hurts from morning to night. He says, I know how.
Amen.
When these times come. I can trust God. I know how to do it. I don't drop subtle hints of how poor I am. I don't, you know, be sure the other fella has to buy the coffee or the donuts.
Never, never.
I don't try to figure how I can get a loan, but I know I can't pay it back. You know, I can't hardly pay the things now. What am I going to do with a loan? And yet I about have to have some money. And so we think and try and fuss and worry and have an awful time.
Yeah.
I know how to do that. I know how to trust that God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
He knows where the checks are. He knows what, when I've got to pay the thing. He knows that, how much groceries are in there. He knows all of that. He has no problem. If I can, like the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I know how to be abased. I'm going to share a personal thing here, not because it's so abased, but I just want to point out how God can wonderfully supply. Oh, I did want to say, too, on the times of, you know, of both, there are times when we can go out and buy that extra thing, you know, that we want and like to have, and then there are times when we probably have to go sell it again.
Amen. I live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This last October, I took a class ring down, a gold class ring, and I sold it for $110. That's about $100 more than it was worth to me. I'd have sold it for about anything over $10. And I got $110. But I thought it was the thing to do. I did it with confidence. I didn't regret it at all. Here was that big old ring, and I didn't think I needed it, and I needed some money, so I sold the class ring. The month of October was one of those tough months. Boy, oh boy, things had to be paid and the auto insurance but by selling the class ring, we stretched her out. November was pretty nice. And then was coming December and a birthday and especially a wedding. Our daughter was being married on January 3. And my, I got to thinking of that. And this was about October, and I was thinking ahead some in October, November, and boy, and I started to pray, Lord, this stuff's coming up. And I had a bill at Sears that we'd ran up, shouldn't have, but did. It was at $700 at one point. I had it scrunched down to about $500. And I got to figuring wedding costs and regular things, and I thought, Lord, there's, you know, these weddings. I thought I might could get by with $500, so I was going to ask for $500. And I said, Lord, do I dare ask if we can get that Sears bill out of the way by the first of the year? Do I dare add that onto my request? Oh, yeah, I did. So I asked if God might, in December, send us $1,000 extra. And I kind of believed He was going to do that.
Amen.
And He did.
Amen.
But He doubled it.
Amen.
He doubled it. He sent over $2,000 extra in the month of December. Sears bill is paid off.
Amen.
Wedding is all paid and clear and out of the way and behind us. And it was a special blessing indeed.
He was able to go out to eat another time.
Yes, sir. Now he says in verse 12, I know how to abound. When there's plenty, he says, I know how to do that too. Now that's interesting, isn't it? You know, when you are not abounding, when there's just enough, you have no problem. You know exactly where it must go. This much goes to that, and that much to that, and that much has to go there, and there's nothing left, so there's no problem. But how about when you get those things paid, and here's some left over? Oh, now what do I do? Now what? What do I do with that? Wife thinks we ought to do this, okay? I was kind of thinking something else. kids need this and that. So it can be a problem. What do I do when we abound? Do we know how to abound? Do we spend foolishly? Do we buy stuff that we don't need? Do we buy an more expensive item than we would have to, than we could get by with? Do we look down our noses at the poor guy next to us or down there a little ways that we heard of that's hardly making it? Say, ha, God likes me better than He likes him this month anyway. Do we do that? Do we think of the person who just is struggling along and we say, "Poor, I'm sure glad I'm not in his spot"? Do we know how to abound? And of course, during the time of the abasement, do we rob different people? Do we rob God a little bit? Do we rob? So these two things from here, both. It seems to me, and I'm just kind of thinking that this would apply to most of us, that we will see both cases. We'll see the time when we travel first class all the way. And then we see the time we take Amen. The bus and eat a sandwich and are glad for it. Both.
Amen.
Both ways. We have times, you know, when we're broken down in the middle of the night and it's bad weather and we think, oh, we've got to evidently have some of both. And then can we be able to say along with this man, "I know how"? To me, this is a tremendous challenge. I wish I could say it. I know how.
Amen.
I know how to do it. I can do it. I suppose there are exceptions, and I've read of one. I just recently read the biography of William Carey, 41 years in India, as you know. Now, William Carey, sure enough, is an example of one who knew both. He really did. He knew both. There were times when he told of stretching their budget. He said, "Why, we're not eating right. We're not being nourished correctly, properly." There were times of real want, but then there were other times when work for that indigo factory or whatever it was and was making good money. And so he knew both ways. But he had a fellow worker sent out also from England, Dr. John Thomas. He was an MD who practiced it, not much, some, but was a regular missionary in India with William Carey. And according to the book, Dr. John Thomas was constantly, perpetually in a financial fix. He was in debt when he started. And in the early part of the book, it mentions him as Dr. John Thomas and then John Thomas. And as the book progressed, the author started calling him Poor Thomas because of his awful financial fix. They said his creditors were always on him, threatening to arrest him, threatening to put him in jail. He tried various schemes to make money so he could pay off his creditors, and the biographer said none of it worked. It all failed. He got into worse debt. His creditors were after him. He would borrow to pay a certain person to stay out of jail, and this went on through his life. And yet, he said Dr. Thomas loved God. He wanted to serve him, and he did. They said the first Indian won to the Lord in India was won by Dr. Thomas. And he said if Thomas just could have not had to deal in finances, he would have been a great missionary. But he said because of his financial problems, he said there's hardly a more pitiful story to read in missionary annals than the biography of Dr. John Thomas. But I suppose that was his fault. I mean, it would seem to me. I don't think we can blame God. I think John Thomas did that himself. But that has to be brought in, doesn't it? That has to be in. God entrusts us with what He gives us.
Amen.
But we are responsible.
Amen.
And if we flub, we surely can't blame God and say, "Lord, you sure sent me the wrong deal here." And we have to accept that responsibility.
Amen.
And I'm sure that if we really knew the details, Thomas was responsible for that.
Amen.
But evidently, there was a guy who didn't know how to be abased and never had an opportunity to know how to abound. He was locked in. He was stuck with it. And at one point, he actually lost his mind. They said that he had to be locked up in what he called a lunatic asylum in India for a while. He did regain his sanity, according to the biographer, and was let out. But then about 3 months later, he died. And it says, "Misfortune plagued him to the end," is the way he wrote it in the book. So evidently there's some exceptions there, and I think John Thomas was one, but it's probably his fault, or it was his fault. Exceptions the other way, I don't know. Are there some that are just constantly abounding? I don't know. I don't know that I've known any, unless it might be some of the denominational fellas who are so adequately supported, you know, and they don't send them anywhere unless they have a big account for them and know that they're going to get it. It's possible. folks like that just always abound and wouldn't have any idea what it would be to have to look to God for the needs to be met. So it seems to me that the most of us have to say both. Both. I have to do both.
Amen.
I have the good times and the tough times. Both. And it's evident. It, you know, you can just look around and yes, it happens that way to people. To God's choice servants. To God's top servants. It happens. So I think our understanding of that is correct. And then to say, I know how. So we have to ask, and it just seems to follow, do we know how? Do we really know how? You know, you can either ride a bike or you can't. And I think it's kind of the same here. You either know how to be abased or you don't. You either know how to abound or you don't. And I just wonder, I'm still trying to figure out if I know how or not. But it's going to be a matter of more consideration, more meditation and prayer. I'd really like to know how.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Joseph.